It is so very good to see all of you here this morning. I know that there are people that are out due to illnesses with the changing weather, and I've been told that there's a lot of illnesses going through our community right now. I thank y'all probably for my prayers on my behalf. I was not feeling well Wednesday, and I've tried to stay away from as many people as possible. And so the people that are out today, it's not my fault. But we sure are glad that you're here. And if you're visiting, we hope that you feel welcome. And whenever you're able to, we hope that you come back and worship God together with us again. The Hebrew writer and the Apostle Paul loved to use the metaphor of running the race to describe our lives as Christianity. We're going to begin our sermon this morning over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Where the Hebrew writer using this metaphor says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." In our sermon this morning, we're going to be talking about track. We're going to be talking about running races. And if any of you have ever run track, then a lot of these metaphors you're going to be very familiar with. And a lot of these principles about running a race you're going to be very familiar with. But you need to realize we're not talking about running a physical race. We're talking about running a spiritual race, the race of Christianity. And we're going to be studying how we can run this way, this race, to where, as 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, that you run it in such a way that you may obtain it. We want to win this race. We want to run the race, and we want to make absolutely sure we finish the race, that we win the race, that we get the prize. Because the prize we're talking about is not some physical crown, not some physical trophy. The prize we're talking about is eternal life in heaven with God Almighty. But if you understand running a physical race, then you can understand better our race as a Christian. First place we're going to begin is what I call the beginning of the race. In Luke 14... verses 28 through 30, he says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" I want to start here in this particular text because the text is talking about counting the cost before you build. And I believe that there are people in the world who are considering obeying the gospel, considering becoming Christians, considering beginning the race of Christianity. But before they begin the race of Christianity, they sit down and think about it and they start saying, "You know, I can't finish that race. So I'm not going to begin the race." It is true and wise that we need to count the cost of whether we are going to be able to finish. But I would like to point out to you that Satan is going to try to convince you that you can't finish the race, so therefore don't even begin it. Now let me ask you. I want you to imagine that you are being told you're going to have to run a marathon next week. Okay? You aren't even going to have time to work up for it. You got to run 26 miles next week. What is your attitude looking toward that? I guarantee you every one of you are going, "What? I can't do that. I'm not going to finish that. And since I'm not going to finish that, I'm not going to begin that. I'm not going to start the race. There's no need in even getting into it." Now let me ask you, which is more intimidating, running a physical race of 26 miles or being told that you are expected to follow Jesus Christ by faith all the days of your life, being faithful to Him, giving yourself as a living sacrifice, running all the way to the very end of your life, dying in the Lord? Well, I'll be honest with you. Sitting down and looking at the race of Christianity can be very intimidating, very overwhelming, to where you start looking at it just like you would look at that marathon and you start thinking, "It's too big. It's too far, it's too long, too much is expected of me. I'm not going to finish this race, so therefore there's no need in even beginning it." If you are someone who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, this part of the sermon is for you. It is true A great commitment is expected of you when you become a Christian. If you continue in the text there in Luke 14:33, it says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Pretty big commitment, isn't it? Christianity is not a casual relationship with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Standing up in front of other people and saying, "I believe Jesus is the Christ, Son of God," that's easy. Being baptized is even easier. You want me to tell you the most difficult part of being a Christian? Is the repentance. The putting to death the old man. The putting on of the new man. Giving yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Forsaking all. To where you let go of everything in your whole life and everything connected to you is given over to the honor and the glory and the service of God. And now you're going to follow and serve by faith. Yeah. That's pretty big commitment. And I understand that if you're not going to make that commitment, then why just go through the motions of being baptized if you're not going to repent? Why go through the motions of being baptized if you're not going to give yourself as a living sacrifice? Why go through the motions of being baptized if you're not even going to try to live the Christian life? Now, if that's describing you, I understand why you don't begin the race. If you're not going to make any commitment, you're not going to repent. You have no intentions of putting off the old man. You're just going to keep on living in sin. You have no intentions of following Christ by faith. I can understand why you don't make the commitment, because you're not willing to pay the cost. But I want you also to understand that even though it is a long race, if you are willing to make the commitment to repent, to serve the Lord by faith, you can finish the race. The race is not so overwhelming that you can't make it. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the text tells us about temptation. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." It is true that you are going to be tempted in your life. It is true you're going to have trials put upon you. But please understand this. God knows what you are able to deal with. And God will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond which you are able. God's not going to put more on you than you can handle. God's not going to allow you to have more put on you by Satan even than you can deal with. So don't start thinking, "I can't make it." Yes, you can. Even those who run a physical race realize that they run it one step at a time. And the same thing is true with the race of Christianity. You run the race of Christianity, now get this, one day at a time. And when you look at the race of Christianity one day at a time, you start thinking, "You know, I can deal with this day. I can serve the Lord by faith today. I can be faithful to God today. And if I sin today, I can ask God's forgiveness of it and get up and get back into the race today." Run the race of Christianity and look at it this way, one day at a time. Look at this in Matthew 6:34. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This verse is trying to get us to learn to live in the present. Not worry about what lies out ahead, because as far as you know, your life may end today. And the end of the race is right out there in front of you. How many of you know how much further you got to run? I know. And so what the Lord is trying to get across to us is, focus where you are now. But focus on this part of the race, this day. And run this day. Now, an amazing thing happens. The days turn into weeks and the weeks turn into years. And your life is like a vapor. It's here for a little while and then it's gone. An amazing thing happens as you run the race of Christianity. The next thing you know, you're at the finish line. Your life went by so quickly. But you run it one step at a time, one day at a time. You think you can handle that? Yes, you can. You can begin your day with prayer and pray to God several times in the day. You can follow by faith this day. You can close the day asking God to forgive you. If you sin in the day, you can go to God in prayer and ask forgiveness of it and get up and keep going. You can do that. And then you can run it one more day and another day. You see, you can run this race. God is not going to put on you more than you can carry. He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. And all you need to do is run it one day at a time. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." I told you earlier that whenever you are thinking about obeying the gospel, being baptized is easy, confessing your faith is easy. I think what holds people back sometimes is this idea of, I'm expected to stop doing things that are sinful. I'm expected to start serving the Lord by faith. And unfortunately, I do believe people refuse to begin the race because they don't intend on letting go of their sin. They refuse to repent. The text here, I want you to notice, talks about laying aside the weight. I've even done this before. I remember in basketball, we used to wear leg weights all day long. And then whenever basketball, the game would begin, we'd take the leg weights off. And boy, you just felt light. And boy, you could jump. Yeah. They did that in the ancient world also. They would wear weights the day of the race. And then whenever the race came, they would take the weights off. And boy, they were ready to go. Because you need to understand, you're not going to run the race with the weights on. Because you're not going to go very far. They're going to hold you back. And so you've got to let go of those things that are going to hold you back if you're going to get into the race. What this is trying to get across to you is this. You need to let go of anyone and anything that's keeping you from obeying the gospel. This race is the big race. It is the most important race because the prize in this race is eternal life. We're not talking about some wreath, some trophy. We're talking about you going to heaven. And don't let anyone or anything keep you from heaven. Lay aside the weight. If there's someone out there in a relationship with that person is keeping you from obeying the gospel, this may sound hard, but cut it. Do not put your mother or your father or your son or your daughter or your boyfriend or your girlfriend in a position to where they are preventing you from obeying the gospel and you're putting them ahead of Christ. Because if you love your mother and your father, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your parents more than you love the Lord, you're not worthy of Him. He expects you to make a total commitment to where you're going to deny everything and everyone and let go of everything and everyone, and you're going to follow Him and you're going to serve Him. Lay aside the weights. Whatever it is that's preventing you from getting into the race, lay it aside. And the sin that so easily ensnares you, the sin that you may think, I don't see how I can let go of this, you can. You can repent. You can say no. You can resist. And you can stand firm in your faith. You can repent. Matthew says in Matthew 11, 29 through 30, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's amazing to me how some people perceive Christianity as being chains. They're going to prevent you from having a good time. It's going to chain you down and prevent you from having a wonderful, fun life. That is not the way Christianity is. You need to understand this. The truth will set you free. God loves you. And He wants you to get the most out of life. He knows things that will hurt you and destroy you in this life and destroy your soul. He is trying to show you how to get the most out of life. How to live it to the fullest. How to avoid a whole lot of unnecessary suffering. The Creator knows you better than you know yourself. And His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Christianity is not chains. It's freedom. Revelation says in Revelation 22 and 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let everyone who thirsts, come. You do realize this is an invitation. This is the invitation from God. Here is the water of life. Here is the gift God wants to give you, eternal life. He's paid for it from His end. He gave His Son to die for you. He wants you to take the gift. And He said, come on, take it. Begin the race. Have your sins forgiven. Be reconciled to God. Go to heaven. Run the race. Receive the prize. Whoever desires of Him, take of the water of life freely. Run the race. Begin the race. Just take the gift. You know, you may ask, when is it that we begin the race? And exactly how do you start running the race? The answer is actually given over in Acts 2. I know you're all familiar with Acts 2. It's the beginning of the church, the beginning of the kingdom here on earth. And after verse 37, when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you go over to verse 41 of that same chapter, it says, those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. I want you to notice this phrase here, and that day. That day when they received His word and they were baptized, their souls were added to the saved, to the body of Christ, to the church by Christ. They began the race of Christianity when they obeyed the gospel. That's how you begin the race. That's how you start. You confess your faith. You repent. You're baptized for the remission of your sins. That day, the Lord adds you to the saved. That day, you begin the race. Now then, let's talk about the middle of the race. If you've ever run track, one of the first things your coach is going to tell you is don't look back. Do not pay attention to the other people running the race. And I've seen people do that before. And one guy actually ran the race. And after he ran the race, the coach ate him up. I mean, he just totally tore him up. Because he looked back, even though he won the race. He was kind of arrogant about it. He was up kind of looking back and sneering at the people. And, you know, and he got the trophy and everything. And he was expecting the coach to say, good job. And the coach just chewed him up. Because you don't look back. That's understood in track. The same thing is taught in running the race of Christianity. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, this is running the race. He hasn't made it yet. But he's focusing on where he's going. And you got to focus on the finish line. And keep your eyes on the finish line and run toward the finish line. And you cannot change yesterday. Let me ask you, how many of you can change yesterday? Any of you? I can't. Neither can you. We cannot change the past. But please listen to this. You can be forgiven. You can be forgiven of the past. So therefore, forget those things which are behind. I know you're familiar with Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife? Why do you remember Lot's wife? What did she do that was so terrible? She looked back. Don't look back. When you are forgiven of your sins, you forgive yourself. When you make peace with God, you make peace with yourself. You can learn from your past mistakes and your past sins, but you cannot change them. Let them go. And then focus on where you're going. And don't look back at the past world that you turned from, that you repented of, and start thinking there's something back there to go back to. There's nothing back in Sodom and Gomorrah worth going back to. Let that life go. Let the old man go. Let the old lifestyle go. And now realize, I'm going to heaven, and start pressing on toward that goal one day at a time. One day at a time.
press on toward the goal.
1 Corinthians 9, 25 to 27 says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain an imperishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Here again, the Apostle Paul is describing his life as a Christian and running the race, and he points out, we're running for an imperishable crown. Those who run these track meets, well, they get a ribbon or some piece of metal. Whoopee. We are running a race. We're at the end of it. We get a crown which is imperishable. You're with God Almighty in heaven. And notice what he says in verse 27 that he does about this race. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. If you're going to run a race, one of the things that's going to be required is self-discipline. If you run a physical race, you need to realize that you actually, even though you may have worked out, you still have your feet hurt sometime. And you find your side still hurts. But you know what you do? You don't allow the pain to cause you to quit. You tell yourself, keep going. And the amazing thing is, because you discipline yourself, you keep going. Now the reason I bring this to your attention is because in the spiritual race, you're going to be hit with trials. You're going to be hit with suffering. You're going to be hit with temptation. And Satan is going to try to tempt you to quit running. You discipline your body to where you carry out in your body what you will in your spirit. And when you tell yourself, I'm not going to quit, don't quit. And when you tell yourself, I'm going to keep pressing on, you keep pressing on. And you do not allow the weariness and the trials and the pressures and the sufferings to cause you to throw up your hands and quit running the race. That's why he says over here, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. You don't want to fall and stop running the race. Don't understand the whole idea of falling. If you fall in a physical race, you're in trouble. The idea of falling in a spiritual race is you're in big trouble. Something has caused you to stop running. Usually it's because you become ensnared and entangled in sin again, and it's wrapped around you. If you think that you cannot have something happen to you to where you give up, you better look out. This verse is trying to tell us you better take heed, you better look out. If you think this is beyond you to be hit to where you're not going to give up, you need to realize you better look out. Because there are terrible things that happen to people. There are overwhelming temptations sometimes that hit people. And there are people sometimes you may think, this person is going to finish the race. This person is going to go all the way. And you turn around and you hear they've left the Lord. They quit. And they're not even trying anymore. They're completely given up. If you give up in the middle of the race, you know you do not receive the prize. You know that. In a physical race, you do not receive the prize if you quit running. In a spiritual race, if you quit running, there is no prize for you. Paul writing to Timothy says in chapter 4, 7 and 8, "But reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." What he's talking about here is growing stronger as a Christian. You're going to start off obeying the gospel at the very beginning of the race as a babe in Christ. But we must be careful that we do not stay babes in Christ. As you grow as a Christian and mature as a Christian, you'll find that running the race gets easier and easier. But you've got to exercise yourself to godliness. Now then, we got some coaches here. What would you think of someone who came out the first day of track and he never exercised at all, never practiced at all? You would think, you're in trouble, buddy. Because you're out of shape. You haven't practiced.
you're not going to be able to make it.
Exercising yourself to godliness means you and I need spiritual exercise. We need to grow stronger as Christians. And as we grow stronger as Christians, we will find ourselves getting to the point to where, because we are Christians that are strong, we will not fall, but we will press on because of our spiritual exercise. Now you may be thinking, spiritual exercise, Wayne, what is that? What are you talking about? Okay, 2 Peter is what I'm talking about. Chapter 1, 5 through 10. I believe Brother Carter prayed about this. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. There they are. That's what we need to be working at. We need to be working at growing in our faith by going to the Word of God, growing in our self-control, growing in our knowledge of the Word of God, growing in our patience, growing in our godliness. Working on them on a daily basis to be a stronger Christian today than I was yesterday. And as you work and as you grow, as he says in verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice the next verse, dropping down to verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never, there it is, stumble. You will never stumble. But we have to have these Christian attributes in us and abounding. And for them to be in us and abounding is going to require us spiritually exercising to work every day, to have better self-control today than I did yesterday, to have stronger patience today than I did yesterday, to have more knowledge of the Word of God today than I did yesterday. It is going to require effort to grow spiritually. I remember the very first day of track in high school. I was going to impress the coach. And we were doing our first 440. And he said, "You might get that going." I remember taking off, and I remember everybody going, "Ooh, look at Fancher. Wow, yeah, yeah, yeah." I could hear that as I was running. Wow, I was giving it everything I had. And I got about 220 yards, and all of a sudden, I couldn't go another step. They called the bear on the back. And I ended up walking across the finish line. I was last. I didn't run the 440. I don't think I impressed him. But I came to understand the need for endurance if you're going to run the race. You see, unfortunately, sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we do stop running. Where we do fall, where we do stumble, where we do quit. If that is describing you, get up and get back into the race. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. You're not alone in the race. In a physical race, if someone next to me falls and stumbles, I think, good. In the spiritual race, if someone next to you falls and stumbles and they quit running the race, you know what we do? We stop and take time out to help them. We take time out to encourage them to get up and to get back into the race. We try to encourage them to start running again. But if you're alone and you're out there all by yourself and you're a solitary soldier fighting your battles by yourself and you fall and you quit running, woe unto you because there's no one there to help you up. I want you to hear this good news. You're not running the race by yourself. You got a lot of fellow soldiers of Christ, fellow Christians, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who will try to help you finish the race. And if you find yourself stumbling and falling, they'll be there for you to help you get up and get back into the race. Hebrews says, chapter 10 again now, verse 36 to 39, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. Here again, the Hebrew writer is using this metaphor of running the race, and he says we have need of endurance. You see, if you take off and you're doing real good, and all of a sudden you just quit, you receive no prize. You have to keep on keeping on. Even though you may have fallen back here, you get up and you ask God's forgiveness and you keep on keeping on. And there are going to be times when you are going to fall. There are going to be times when you're going to find yourself becoming entangled in sin again. There are going to be times when you're going to find yourself struggling and hurting. There are going to be times when you're going to be hit with suffering and trials. And Satan's going to whisper in your ear, just quit. Just quit. We need endurance. We need persistence. We need to keep on keeping on. And that way we can see the promise. He talks about the person who draws back. His soul has no pleasure in him. The one who draws back, where does he end up? Perdition. Every individual that is going to finish the race of Christianity is going to finish it with persistence, patience, and endurance. We are not going to allow anyone or anything to keep us from finishing the race. We will press on. Even though we may stumble, we will press on. Even though we may fall, we will press on. Even though there may be terrible things behind us, we will press on. And we're going to keep our focus on where we're going. One day at a time, running forward, going forward to heaven. And one day, we'll cross the finish line. But it will be because we did not quit. We endured. He says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of their soul. The end of the race. Have any of you ever watched a marathon? I remember watching the marathon, and this is going to tell you how old I am, you all know by now. It was the Mexico Olympics, I believe. And if you ever watched the beginning of the marathon, when they take off, well, those arms are beating, and they look strong and healthy. But by the end of the race, some of them look pretty bad. And there was one I remember, I think it was the Mexico Olympics, because it was the end of the marathon, and everybody had finished, but this one African guy. He really wasn't even running anymore. He was just kind of walking. And his arms were hanging down, and his legs were wobbly, and I guess it was a fast walk, you would call it that. But the amazing thing was, is everybody in the main arena, in the main auditorium and stadium there in Mexico, they stayed. And it was the middle of the night when this guy came into the arena. And whenever he came in, the whole arena erupted. They went crazy. And he wobbled around the last lap. And when he crossed the finish line, he collapsed. And they put him on a stretcher and carried him away. I wanted to tell you that story because you need to realize that sometimes running the last mile of the way can be the most difficult mile to run. Hebrews 12:12-13 says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. The idea is, again, here, hands that hang down, feeble knees. The idea is you're tired, you're weary. You've been going a long time. And now you got burdens that are on your shoulders. And as Ecclesiastes says, as you get older, the grasshopper becomes a burden. Things that may have been easy to deal with when you were younger now just seem to press down so heavy on you. The last mile of the way may be the most difficult mile of the way. When you find your emotions getting weaker, when you find your body getting weaker, I want to encourage you though. Even though your hands may be hanging down, even though you may have been running a long time, and even though the burdens may be pressing down on you more than they ever have, keep running. Press on. Do not quit. The finish of the race is out there ahead of you. Press on all the way to the end of the race. Paul, in writing about the close of his life, in 2 Timothy says in chapter 4, 7-8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He finished the race. I tell you, brethren, whenever I see a brother or a sister in Christ finish the race. I rejoice for them. Imagine again that you're in that arena in Mexico City. And this gentleman who's run 26 miles comes wobbling in. And this 100,000 people in this stadium stand up and go, "Oh." No. They were cheering him on. This verse that begins here, and I'll begin the sermon with over in Hebrews 12, verse 1, says, "Wherefore, seeing we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses." What's being depicted there is the idea of all those that are mentioned back in the 11th chapter who have already finished the race are all sitting up in the arena going, "Go, go, 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 don't quit, keep on." And so therefore, what we need to do is lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily entangles us and run with endurance the race that is set before us. And when someone crosses the finish line, it's not a time to go, "Oh." It's a time to go, "Yes! He finished! I tell you, if I could, I would not bring my father back. The day my father passed in this life was the day I understood that that is what it's all about. To finish the race in Christ is what it's all about. And if I happen to be the one who preaches at your funeral, I will not shed one tear for you. If I weep, it will be for your family, because I know they will miss you. But I will rejoice for you, because you finished the race." And that is what it's all about. Making it to heaven to be with God Almighty is what our existence is all about. And when someone finally gets there, it's a time to rejoice for them. Hebrews says, Hebrews 3 and 14, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." And then again in Matthew 24, 13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." I want you to notice both verses. To the end. Hold on to your confidence to the end. Run by faith to the end. All the way to the very end of your life. And then you receive the crown of righteousness. The one who is faithful and runs all the way to the end and endures to the end. That's the one that will be saved. That's the one that will receive the crown of righteousness. That's the one that receives the prize. Let that one be you. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to do so now. You can begin the race of Christianity this day. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're willing to openly confess that faith, then be willing to make the commitment, laying aside all the weights, anything that's holding you back, anyone that's holding you back, let them go. Lay them aside, and then give yourself as a living sacrifice to God, repenting of your sins. We'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ. And at that moment, you will be added to the body of Christ. You will have begun the race of Christianity. If you are a child of God already who is in the race, and you find that you have become entangled in sin and fallen, I want to encourage you, get up, get untangled, get back into the race. Ask God's forgiveness of it, learn from it, and then let it go. And focus on where you're going one day at a time. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. You're not running alone by yourself. We'll do the best we can to support you and uphold you and encourage you to keep pressing forward. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the psalms that have been selected.